Hi everyone, I'm Harvey. Welcome to A11 Crypto, the place where I talk with visionary founders and savvy investors to de-risk potentials and explore opportunities. This is part one of our NFT series, where we look at applications of blockchain and crypto in gaming, collectibles, and other verticals. Today, I'm very pleased to have a special guest. Welcome to Ralph, who is the CEO of TouchHour, the developer and publisher of the much-loved PvP game, Nine Lives Arena. Welcome, Ralph.
Hello, welcome.
So, for those of you who are new to the channel, I want to give you a bit background information on Nine Lives Arena. Now, Nine Lives Arena has been a leader in the NFT space long before the current surge in interest in the topic. So why don't we start by having Ralph telling us a bit more about his background and why and how did he come to the decision to integrate blockchain in his game?
Okay, yeah, that's... Well, first of all, I'm a hardcore gamer, so I started gaming when Pong came out. So I've been there from the beginning as a gamer. And I've been a game developer now for 30 years. So I have a lot of experience both as a developer and as a publisher, because I worked for big publishers and I worked for development teams in the past. But I never really had a chance to do 100% what I really want to do. And so I took the chance. I jumped on it around 5 years ago when I really made the decision I want to do my own thing, my own studio. And, you know, what's more fitting than the stuff that you're really the most passionate about? And so for me, it was PvP-focused fantasy RPGs, right? So I always played the MMORPGs, and there used to be a dedicated dueling scene or open world PvP where you had one versus one encounters. And throughout those years, you know, those communities, they grew. And you see in the Souls games, for example, you see a lot of dedicated 1v1 people. They organize their own fight clubs. But the Souls games also, like MMOs, they're not 100% focused on that part. You know, the Souls games, their core competency is, you know, the really strong PvE, the strong boss fights and all of that. And they have co-op PvE as well. So PvP is there, but it's not the focus. And therefore, you know, it's not really 100% tailored to it. There's not a lot of experience around it. And so for us, we are like the first game ever to really tailor a game around the idea of this one versus one competition in fantasy, where you fight with swords and magic, you know, and really can build the character. You know, you have the mind game of how do I build my character the most effective to be the most versatile against all kind of other character builds. And then at the same time, you know, it's an RPG and you craft items and stuff. So the idea, when I looked at blockchain and for gaming in 2017, there wasn't a lot of progress, but there were the first projects that actually, you know, looked and tailored at that space. And we did a due diligence on all the blockchain projects at the time that were focused on gaming. And for us, Engine stood out because they were the ones that want to provide an SDK. So like a software development kit for developers to really focus on game development, but not on smart contract. And, you know, our programmers, they are C++ programmers. We use Unreal Engine. They have no background in, you know, anything with blockchain. They don't know Solidity. They have never done anything with smart contracts. So Engine basically provides the whole ecosystem, the infrastructure and the tools that you need as a developer to tap into this kind of experience and make it easy for you, and you focus still on game development and use all the tools provided by Engine to integrate NFTs. So that was like the key part, that there were SDKs and tools for us to ready to go, right? And yeah, that's where we are right now. We have a couple of super cool, you know, use cases for NFTs in the game, and you know, the community loves them already, and you know, it's really exciting.
I think there are a few core problems that NFT solves, right? You know, for example, players, they spend hundreds, if not thousands, of money, right? Dollars, euros, whatever the currency, in game for items to level up, but they are never able to really sell them to another player when they leave the game, or they cannot sell their account. You know, I think this idea of in-game items, we should think of it as digital property, and it, you know, you own it, and you should have certain property rights, and NFT solves that and it allows you to be transferable. And, you know, I think, you know, with what you have done, you know, in the past 3 years, right? And I want people to understand it's 3 years. This is way before this whole NFT craze took off, right? You've just been working, and this NFT has allowed a certain in-game economy to develop. But tell us a bit more about what does NFT allow players and game developers to do that otherwise they couldn't?
Yeah, so as you pointed out, currently in the games industry, there's no real allowed item trading for, you know, against money. Most items, they can't leave their account, so you can't trade them anyways. And then those accounts are also against the terms of service to be traded, and the people in the black market that sell them, they still scam other people. There's so much fraud happening because you just claim those accounts back later. So what it does for us, basically, it allows us to give the player true item ownership. I, like many others like you, I bought skins in games, and then when you stop playing that game, the money I spend on all those skins, that's basically wasted, because, you know, I can't trade those skins that I bought. But with NFTs, now you can actually, you know, once you're done with the game, move on and sell those skins that you bought. If they are based on an NFT, they're on the blockchain, you truly own them and you can trade them. But, you know, once we started looking into it, we thought we spin the whole wheel a little bit further already with a clear vision on the future. Instead of just giving the gamers, you know, NFT skins, we decided we take them in on the monetization of NFTs, of skins. So we sell blueprints to players that allow players to craft NFT-based item skins, and sell those skins themselves to another player. So basically, our blueprints are super rare. You know, they start at a limitation of 9, and they go currently up to 4.99 or 5.99 in limitation, which is still very rare if you think about a big gaming, you know, online community can easily reach the high hundred thousands, or, you know, the millions, or even if you have the beginning, let's say 50,000, 500 blueprints is nothing. You can still, as a blueprint owner, craft a lot of skins based from that blueprint and sell them to other players. And then one day when you're done with the game, you can also, of course, at any point in time, sell that blueprint itself. So now suddenly the in-game economy is based on player trading. And us as a developer, instead of just making money on selling skins directly, we let the gamers do this. And that way our community is part of us much more than, you know, in traditional sense. And if we succeed at making a valid business case for our gamers, we succeed as a game developer, because now we have an ecosystem that is running, an in-game economy that is running, and we get a tiny fraction of every transaction that the players do between themselves. And eventually then the game development studio can operate a little bit like a crypto exchange, right? Which will free a lot of, you know, potential in terms of, we can also start dropping rare NFTs rather than selling them, and making the gaming experience more rich over time by being able to feed the money we generate through the economy back into the economy and keep it up and exciting. So that's what we've been doing with Blueprints.
Let me see if I understood correctly, right? So, am I to understand that a blueprint is the right to create a particular skin?
Correct.
Okay. So, it used to be in traditional gaming, game developers, they own these blueprints. Only they can make it, and only they can profit from it, right? You as a player, you pay money for it, but you never see return. And so, whereas here, I think what you have enabled is this concept and notion we talk about a lot, which is play to earn, right? And there was a movie called Ready Player One. And basically, you know, it was a story where each character in the movie owns a character in one single character that can travel across different games, right? And within each of these games, they can accomplish tasks, which would then allow them to earn in-game items, which is equal to real-world money, right? How cool is that? So basically, I think what you have just talked about is an example of that specific concept. I think we used to think that, you know, playing games, earning a living, just crazy, but I don't think so anymore after I've, you know, look into the NFT space and with gaming. So I know there's one particular interesting feature of the game, Oogie. So why don't you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, Oogies are the other NFT that we have. So, you know, when you have a game like an RPG like we do and where players craft a lot, they need to gather resources. And resource grind is a real grind, right? You know, you want to make it, you know, to a degree, you know, that it's not too cumbersome, but, you know, there's always players that complain about grind. And when you look at the average gamer is now 35 years old and they have families, they have jobs, they don't have the time like they used to when they initially started playing these fantasy MMOs. So we decided we invent a little helper for every player. It's called an Oogie, right? So if you have an Oogie and you have one when you play the game, everybody gets one for free. The Oogie will work for you even when you are out of the game. You log out of the game, you go to bed or you go to work or you go to school or you study or you go to a bar or you go on vacation. Oogie is still in the game world working for you. Whatever you told him to do, he's doing. As long as you left him enough food in his you know, storage, then he's going to feed himself and he's going to go on. He can work up to 16 hours autonomously. So basically, even if you only sleep 4 hours a day, you can keep him running 24/7. So what you do is you tell him, for example, Oogie, go mining. And then you're done for the day. You have done whatever you wanted in the game. You can compete it against friends or on the leaderboards. And now you log out and Oogie is mining. Then you're at bed, let's say, and we are developing an app called the My Oogie app. There you can log into your Oogie and like a Tamagotchi on steroids, basically, and check what the little bugger is up to. And then maybe, you know, now he found some rare resources for you and you finally can craft a blueprint that you didn't have the resources for. So without even going back to your computer or your console, you now tell Oogie, okay, craft me 5 of the golden, whatever the name is, helmet, right? So then you put the mobile away, you go to sleep. Next morning you wake up, it's a Saturday, you put on the PC and Oogie has made the 5 helmets for you, they're ready. And whatever else he did is ready. And then you just, you know, try those out, you know, on a couple of new characters. And then you jump into the arena and test your new build because they gave you some interesting stud rolls on them. So it's the world's first online-offline companion that works for the player. And in conjunction with you know, the idea of play to earn, it's basically your own virtual employee.
Okay, guys, I want you to listen to that again. Your own virtual employee. So by simply logging to the game, you get an employee, right? And this employee is an NFT, meaning this this particular employee has value. It's unique, right?
Yes. So the one that comes with the game, everybody gets it free. It's not on the blockchain. So even players that have no understanding of blockchain and wallets can play. But there are a lot of blockchain-based NFT-based Oogies, and you can either buy them from us, from the development team, and they are randomly distributed, and you have a chance of getting a really rare one because there's over 3 trillion, 165 billion different possible look combinations. They have a gene pool. On top of that, they have some super rare royal genes, and the more royal genes they have implemented, the rarer they become. But you could also just scan the engine marketplace, you know, and buy an Oogie from another player, you know, that maybe bought a 9-pack and he sells, you know, 5 or 6 of his Oogies. Or maybe you look for a high-level Oogie and, you know, players can just have their Oogies level up in the background and then they can go and sell a level 30 or a level 60 Oogie, which is much more efficient in crafting and other skills, abilities in the game. So if you wanted to have a much more experienced Oogie, you could also scan the marketplace for one of those.
So let me think this through, right? So basically you have an employee who works for you and the outcome of their work are items, right? Items of value because everything's NFT. And then depending on the level of this employee, the value of the items they can crop are different. So basically, if you have a very high level Oogie, this Oogie will be able to produce more value for you.
Well, wasting less resources. Even the start, you know, a level 1 Oogie has a chance to craft an epic quality item, but the chance is 1%, right? So a level 60 Oogie has a much higher percent to craft an epic version of the item. And even 2 epics aren't the same because whatever stats roll on an epic are random. But an epic has the highest stat budget. So like on a two-handed sword, an epic has 8 total stat budget, a blue one has 6 total stat budget, a green one has 4, but which stats are rolled on it are also are completely random. So two purple weapons, for instance, have completely different stats, but both of them have 8 stats, right?
I see. Sorry, go ahead.
8 stat points. You know, you could get lucky and you have all 8 of them roll physical crit chance, right? So you have +8 physical crit chance on that. The other one maybe has +3 magic crit chance, +1 life leech, +5 intelligence or whatever, so, but not more than 8 in total.
And
one player will be scanning the market for a more intelligence-based weapon. Another one will be life leech interested, right? So there's a market for all of these, you know, but because every player builds different characters, right? There's different strategies.
Yeah, I think for people who are new to the MFT space, right? I think they may not know this, but these items can go for thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. Right.
We have seen some madness, you know, in the traditional gaming space of where it's even illegal in most cases to trade anything and not secure, but they go for that kind of money sometimes. Yes.
So can you maybe give an example of something like that?
Yeah. So when we did the initial price finding, we had no idea what to expect and what we can really ask for. You know, we know. Initially, it's a setback for us because instead of selling skins to every player, we only sell a limited amount of blueprints. We're only going to get the full return of that investment once there's trading fees coming from the player trades, right? Which are not happening at the beginning right now. So we only make money on the blueprint sales. But we gave away a sword blueprint limited to 35 only for free at the beginning with a website as a promotion. And then we saw them trade on the marketplace for hundreds of dollars, right? The highest traded for $750, you know, but they still, the cheapest I think was traded for $400. And we gave it away for free. So there is an intrinsic value based on how rare is the item and what's the use case, in which case it allows players to craft and sell NFTs themselves. So what we then did is, we put out a range of different rarity items and our rarest, because we are called Nine Lives Arena, our rarest blueprints are limited to 9 only in the world. And we did 3 of those and we thought, okay, they're going to be like the one thing that everybody desires and that will be in our store forever, right? And they were the fastest selling blueprints we have. They were the most expensive ones. They cost $3,000 Canadian each, but they sold out in just under a week. And that caught us by surprise because we thought they would be the slowest selling, but we didn't 100% understand the crypto, you know, and the dynamics of collectors and people already understanding the business model behind it. But there's a lot of understanding the people in crypto space, that a lot of them are both gamers and, you know, investors in a way, or, you know, really interested in the whole use case on what it can bring, play to earn, what it can do for gamers. So it works.
So let's verify this. I want to see this in real action, right? So let me.
Yeah.
I have your website, right? I have your website. Let me just show it to the listeners, right? Okay. So here's the Nine Lives Arena website. We are right now on the shop page. So if I scroll down, people can see there are founders pack. I imagine these are access keys, right? To the game right now. You said there were swords. So I see weapon blueprints, and I see Molten Core limited edition of 9, Heart of Gold limited edition of 9, Eye of the Storm limited edition of 9. So I imagine it's these those, were those what you were
three
talking about.
The ones.
Cool. So look, okay, let me. Everything is out of stock. That means everything has been bought, I imagine.
Yeah. Okay. One heart of gold we hold that we actually gonna give away on our alpha tournament. So we have an ongoing in-game tournament, and at the end of the alpha phase, we're gonna invite the best 30 or best 40, 50 players from the leaderboards to compete in a tournament. And the last remaining heart of gold will be the prize for the best player.
Okay, so this is currently on the website list for $2,999 Canadian dollars, right? So it's out of stock. Now, How much is this selling for in the marketplace? Because I know your items are being traded on Engine's platform, right?
So yeah, so that depends. I don't know what the current is. It varies depending what kind of price people put in.
Okay, let me just go there. Right, so I went on the enginex.io, the marketplace for the games. And currently, this list for 6,855, right? Literally more than double, right? More than double. Yeah. So if this is a market price, that means whoever's gonna win that tournament will earn this much money, literally.
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
And by the way, here's something I want.
And this is with a very small starter closed alpha community, right? This is, we have not done any marketing, so I mean, right now that's the value. But imagine we have we have launched on Steam and we have a solid player base. You know, these items will be so rare, and then imagine some rich, you know, Twitch streamer. They make a lot of money if somebody was interested of those guys. To play or tournament players, they you know, they might not buy the blueprint, but they there's a huge market for the players then to craft those items so that the tournament players can look good, or their favorite Twitch streamers or whatever.
Right, like we haven't really explored this, right? Imagine, because right now you're in closed alpha, right? That's the state you're in, so it's not even open to the public. Now, if there were Twitch streams streaming this. Right, and people start seeing that, hey, listen, you earn $6,000, right, from this. I think this is $6,000. It is pretty much the third or fourth place in season final for a game like Hearthstone, right? In Hearthstone, I think the top player earns what, 25,000, 50,000, and then you have 25, and then you have like 10,000. So it's crazy. I mean, Hearthstone has what, hundreds of thousand players, millions, right? But that's not NFT. That's the thing. Not NFT. This is.
It's not NFT. So it's just for your personal use. You can, you know, dress your character up. That's it.
So you mentioned about being on Steam. Like, so what's timeline looking like? I think everybody right now is pretty excited to know more details.
Yeah. So we are about a week away from our last alpha content, in-game content update, which will introduce. It's actually the biggest update yet. It will introduce a lot of new features. We're going to have competitive fishing, for example. You know, so far, you know, players could only compete, you know, in combat, either with the mortals, with their spirit hunters, or with the immortals, or with the black phantoms. But now which is a dynamic, you know, you die as a mortal, you become a spirit starts with zero lives, and then every victory he gets a life. He dies before he reaches 9 lives back, he's gone forever.
Yeah.
But if he manages to get 9 lives back, he resurrects, but he becomes an immortal. And immortals, they compete on their own leaderboards, because when an immortal dies, he still loses a life like a mortal. But when he wins a fight, he gains a life.
Right.
So these guys, you know, their lives are going to go up and down, but they are still kept at 9. While mortals, the normal players you have at the beginning, they don't gain lives with a victory. They gain a victory, but so they will die eventually. While immortals, they're going to stay long. So they have their own leaderboards. And then there will be, with the next update, there will be Black Phantoms, which spices it up. But I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, so there's those features. Then, you know, there's treasure hunting for Oogies in the next update. There's a lot of in-game achievement boards where you can unlock stuff while playing the game. And there's a lot of new rewards and resources. And so, yeah, if you think about the power of the NFTs, once the game goes live, you know, we can drop, you know, like I said, we gave away a blueprint limited to 35 and it trades in the high hundreds. So imagine we do that during a season. A season is going to play out in 3 months and we decide, you know, to drop 15 rare blueprints in a season, right? And the people that get them either from while they fish or treasure hunt or as reward in an arena, you know, that's some powerful stuff right there. Plus, they can, of course, if they already own blueprint throughout the season, sell skins to all the new players and all the players that's still interested on one of their new heroes to do that. But the timeline, yeah, sorry, I got carried away there.
This is super fascinating. So you mentioned something about immortals, right? So these will be, you know, so you're going to have to die first, right? And then you're going to have to win, right?
Yeah.
And so what happens if you die and then you win 9 times, or you keep winning. Do you have a special status?
Yeah, well, you become a leaderboard the highest if you have the most victories. Every victory gets counted, right? And we have internal leaderboards for both, or for all of them. The markets have a leaderboard, so the highest on the leaderboard right now is, I think, Grabham Dragon. He has 91 victories before he died. And you only get on the leaderboard if you die, right? So that people don't park their heroes. They have to die to be on the leaderboard. So that keeps them motivating. And then they get a spirit if they die, which is also exciting. Because only through a spirit can you get an immortal. So there's a lot of motivation. Even though we have permadeath, there's a tons of motivation to keep playing. Because there's so much to unlock while you play, right? Yeah.
I like it. What's the timeline looking for next?
Yeah, so I mentioned in a week we have the last internal content update, and then we really focus on scalability. Then it's all back end. The whole network code needs to be done to be able to be scalable, and then it's hard to predict, but we know it's going to be a couple of months and there will be bugs, so I don't know how many, you know, how much of the delay the bug fixes and all of that to deal with will cost, because bugs usually have the tendency to, when they get fixed, they introduce another nasty bug. So it's a bunch of months that the back end will take. Once it's done, we test it openly and we move into open alpha. So that's the difference. Right now it's closed alpha. We are under the radar. We don't even make any marketing. We don't spend money on marketing. All the marketing that happens by accident, basically. Like you and me talking, that's some kind of marketing, you know, that I did not expect. You reached out to us and it's exciting for me to be on the podcast. But this is the only thing. We don't, you know, go and really spend money on marketing. We have no PR manager or PR campaign that we pay for. So that will change with open alpha, because then we need a lot of player to test with us whether the scalability works. So there will be 3 weekends or three weeks where we then stress test the whole server backend and see that it works. And the moment we feel confident that it runs stable, there's no crash bugs anymore and people can log in, log out, and there's no issues. And then we basically go on Steam Early Access Program. And that will then be our open beta on Steam. And then on Steam, it's basically a couple of bunch of more features that are very exciting, but I don't want to spoil them. We announce that when we go on Steam. But basically, there will be some exciting developments with the game as well. And then, you know, as soon as we have it on Steam running up and stable, and we feel that the NFT process of players crafting and selling is balanced enough and there's no more exploits, it's all waterproof, then we go live 100%, right?
So basically, I think before this game gets big, before it goes to open alpha, before it goes to Steam Early Access, right? The earlier you play, the higher the chance you have at obtaining valuable items before people rushing, right? And I think
you have a bunch of advantages. You also, you know, you understand how it works, you know, where to get the good stuff, you know, how to level up your Oogie efficient. I mean, we have a couple of guys, they call themselves the Oogie Whistlers. They just train Oogies. And it's funny because, first of all, we had no blockchain Oogies. And then they leveled the normal in-game Oogie, you know? And then there were a few guys, they were the first one, you know, we had the top three that leveled a level 60 Oogie. It took around five, six months to get him to max level at the time. And they are the same guys that were the first with the blockchain-based Oogies to get them to 60 as well, right? We have like two or three guys now also in the same tiny group of people, because they pulled from the experience they had with the first Oogies. So if the game ever goes live, you know, with new Oogies, or when the game goes live with the new Oogies, because they already have their level 60, obviously, and they decide to make a new level 60 Oogie, they have the advantage. So everybody that joins, but I mean, it doesn't really matter whether your Oogie is a month later level 60 or whatnot, you know. But you know, players like to min-max everything, even the process of how they handle their Oogies.
I think actually that's very relevant, right? Because if you look at the crypto space, right, in the current liquidity mining phase, right, if you are a whale, right, you have absolute advantage. People cannot overcome that, right? If you don't have the money, you cannot benefit. But people, if you play the game and if you put in the work, right, you can get these valuable items, right? I think that is key here, right? And I love that. I can't wait to see the progress you guys make and have you back on again. I would love to do a whole series to follow your progress, and I'll do a call to action to every single crypto person out there. And I know most of you are gamers, right? So go play the game and tell your friends about it. And then as the game grows, as the game economy grows, everyone benefits. Thank you so much, Rob, for your time today. And I look forward to seeing you guys develop in the game.